providing you extensive coverage with a different attitude.
Not your boring, everyday, run-of-the-mill high school sports show.
This is the High School Blitz with your host, Brandon Lowe, and his, due to a conflict of interest, not his official co-host, but an official contributor, the Gazette Mail's Ryan Pritt. Now to the guys.
All right, welcome into another edition of the High School Blitz podcast. I'm Brandon Lowe, your host. Joining me now is Nitro Head football coach Zach Davis. Coach, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm glad to be on the show. Glad to be talking football. It's been a while since we've done this. Last year, before the season, I think.
Yeah, it was last year. We did kind of the around the same time. I think it was actually in it was June, because we had flex days then. And of course, it's being moved now to July because of everything going on with coronavirus. But how have you been hanging in with this quarantine stuff and all that?
Oh man, I think I'm like about everybody. It's just been hard being at home and not having like a job to go to, right? I think us as teachers and coaches, we're used to, hey, let's get up, let's go do something, let's be with our players, and we haven't been able to do that, so that's been tough. But just trying to find like a new like way of doing life in this time has been, it's been a challenge. But you know, I've been able to do stuff I wasn't able to do for a while. Our backyard totally got remodeled, so that was a good thing. And then this, all the Zoom conferences with football coaches, trying to learn new schemes and things of that nature. And now we get to work with our players a little bit, so that's been good.
Yeah, and you also do a blog as well. Have you continued to add to the blog?
The blog is gone on the back burner. The podcasting though has stayed pretty steady.
Oh, okay.
Mind of a Football Coach podcast has been my thing for a little bit. The blog was fun. I may get back to it some, but I enjoy the interaction with people in podcasts a little more than writing.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember you talking to me about that when you were thinking about doing podcasts. You've been listening to a lot of podcasts. You say, when you go for a run and stuff, you've listened to my old radio show, whatever I had that. And it was pretty cool. I didn't actually know that you started the podcast. I actually feel bad that I haven't paid attention enough to check it out, but I'll check it out for sure.
Yeah. Mind of a Football Coach is the name of the podcast. And it's got some people who are much wiser than me on there. I've been interviewing a bunch of people, so that's been fun.
That's awesome. Definitely check that out, and I'll do the same. I've seen you along with Coach Mays. I had him on the first little video episode we did this year, and he's been pretty vocal about COVID-19, kind of the effect on high school athletics. I see you've been posting some things as well on Twitter. You've mentioned all the coaches talking to each other. Kind of give me your take on obviously the effect, you've kind of mentioned that, but the phases that also have been put forth by the county.
Obviously COVID has affected people horribly. There's people that have died, and that's a terrible, terrible thing. I think the data is telling us it does not affect high school age kids much, or even at all. Most of them are asymptomatic. More kids have died of the flu in past years than COVID-19, and we don't shut anything down for the flu. Now, obviously, we're concerned about older people they come in contact with. I understand that. But I think my take is, if we don't have a vaccine, the only other option is herd immunity to some degree. Because if there's no vaccine, we can stay shut down, but then our life as we know it just completely dissolves. And if you shut down for much longer, it's going to be hard to keep things in our lives that we've loved, football or at any level. If colleges can't play football this year, you're going to see a bunch of colleges close because they can't support themselves without that. Then you're looking at maybe stimulus packages, things of that nature, but that's a whole nother ball of wax. And I'm not educated enough to talk about any of that. So, it's something that we're going to deal with. And I don't think holing up and staying in your house for the next X number of years is the answer to that. Cause you're going to destroy people's lives cause they won't have jobs. And, I just read an article about the increase in overdose cases during this will blow your mind. I just read an article about that today. And that's something that doesn't get talked about because it's not COVID-19. Mm-hmm. But there's some decisions we're going to have to make. We're going to have to make a decision about what is acceptable risk. And we're going to have to go forward from there. And I'll leave that to people that have PhDs behind their name.
Well, the one thing I will say that I was kind of talking to my wife about this, because we started talking about, you know, the NFL reporting to camps, college football is allowing the workout stuff. Obviously, high school and the counties under those three phases, which we'll get a little bit into that. But it'd be interesting in college, because if a kid tests positive for COVID-19, what do you do as a coach, especially if it's your starting quarterback or whatever, but it just anything in general, what do you do if they miss those couple weeks? Does it, and you know, is it mess with their scholarship time? Does it, you know what I mean? Or if they have to miss the entire year, like what do? You give them a red shirt? Or, I mean, depending on how long they're out, that's another kind of messy situation with it.
Yeah. Those are all things that I think we have to embrace. And we have to have some good discussion about how do we move forward with that. Because the option is not, you know, let's stay in quarantine for another 4 years until there maybe is a vaccine. That's just not – that is not plausible for anybody. There'll be nothing left. I mean, people won't have jobs. There won't be sports. You know, there won't be businesses. You have to move forward to some degree. And you ask about the SSAC's – phases. I didn't answer that. I'm sorry. I think it's great we can get back to working. You know, I'm very appreciative that we can do that. Obviously, I wish we could do more. I look at states like Ohio and Georgia and Tennessee and Florida, and they can do a little more now than we can, but I'm just glad we can do something.
It's interesting. I was talking to Maze about this. The interesting, the numbers of the pods too. They pick 10 for each pod, each team kids over here for conditioning. It's just interesting. I wonder how they came up with, I mean, obviously they probably went with medical professionals and such, but it was just kind of interesting how they picked, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to put these kids in tens and we're going to do, that was the thing that was kind of confusing, is how they came up with the plan as far as not using this, not using that, but keeping kids away from each other. I thought that was kind of interesting. I didn't know how they came up with that formula.
Oh, I don't know. If they're doing the best they can, obviously this is a brand new thing.
Yeah.
You know, I find it interesting. We're in pods of 10, but you go on social media and there's like 707 tournaments all through the South. And you're like, wait a second. Like I have to social. And the first thing I think about is the only place my players social distance is at practice.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's the only place there's social distancing. Let's be real. At our practice, we social distance, we follow the rules, but I mean, we ask them, hey, you know, stay away from each other when you leave. The first thing they do is congregate, and then they all get in like 4 or 5 cars and they drive home and then they go hang out with each other.
Yeah.
They're like, well, you know, I guess we're trying to keep them safe, but they're not social distancing anywhere else except practice.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Coach May said, you know, kids are going to be kids. You can't keep them from going out and doing things. So, all you can do is try to follow that phase one and hopefully get through all those phases so we can even use the phase three eventually would be the flex practice weeks, which is usually, again, this month it was moved to July. I think even before they put the phases, just kind of hoping things could to be normal. But, you know, obviously you said you've been communicating with your guys through Zoom. How has conditioning work been going for you guys?
Oh, it's been great. Our kids have been really excited to get back at it. We've had about 20 or so at each conditioning session. For us at Nitro, that's a big number. We only have about 30, 35 kids in the team. So that's been great. We're really out of shape because they haven't really done anything since March. And we had great attendance in our weight room program through the winter, and then obviously that all got shut down. And now it's more about trying to get them acclimated to being outside. So if we have a season, they're able to go and play, because our guys play both ways. And just trying to get them back in shape and in a general physical preparation. We're in a general physical preparation mindset right now. It's trying to get them to where they can be outside for an hour and hopefully get back to playing football.
I feel like it's gone pretty kind of flown by, because I remember when your first year at Nitro coming over from Riverside, now you're entering your third year. how have you felt that you've grown though as a coach as far as this point? And because I mean, you, it seemed like Riverside was a quick stint too, coming from out of state, and then now you're here at Nitro, and here you're getting to know the community, more members of the community. But how do you feel like you've kind of grown?
Oh gosh, I think that as a coach, you should get better every year, and I think that it's understanding what's the formula at your school that's going to work. As far as, you know, your workouts, as far as your scheme, as far as, you know, what are your players interested in, like outside of football, so you can relate to them. It's all those types of things. That takes a little bit, and I think we're going the right direction. 3-7, 4-6, and just trying to build it the best we can. You know, Nitro, you know, we get a lot of kids that play just their junior or senior year. So we have to get to know them quickly. And then we try to build from there and just help. And we try to earn their trust. And that's one of the biggest things. If they trust you, then they'll do anything they can for you. And I think that's something we've been able to do a good job of. Like, for example, our tailback last year, Cam Foster, he only played high school football 1 year. It was a senior year. So you're trying to get to know guys and then help them and just go forward from there.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, three games your first year was actually first time Nitro's won at least that many games, I think, in a decade or more. Then you won four games last year. A lot of shootouts, by the way, too. A lot of high-scoring games. You know, you probably could take away, as you said, those first 2 years, at least you're progressing. And, you know, a lot of coaches would say, you know, wow, it must be great to have juniors and seniors because they're upperclassmen. But it's funny you mentioned the challenges because, you know, back to keep bringing them up, Coach Mays, South Charleston's always pretty young for the most part every year. And then if he gets those kids together enough and barring injuries, you know, usually it could make for a good year. But it's interesting to hear about you saying, you know, you only get them for so long, and that affects your ability to kind of put your game plan in and get them to kind of connect throughout the season. I found that pretty interesting. It's a different take from having upperclassmen compared to all my team was young. So this is why they made some mistakes.
Yeah. The Nitro Cross Lanes area has really changed here in the last decade. We're a very transient community. So we'll have a bunch of kids transfer in, transfer out. And if you have a kid for 4 years, that's pretty rare. Our senior class last year, only a handful had played football for 4 years, or even been at Nitro for 4 years. So that's one of the things that we just have to embrace and say, hey, we're going to try to make you the best you can be while you're here and go forward from there.
And also very similar to the last conversation I had with Joey Fields, who just took the Hoover job, is, you know, numbers as far as having those kids because of everything, the floods and everything that really affected the Hoover program for, and they're still trying to bounce back. So kind of goes back to that too, just having kids able to have some of those numbers back, and it sounds like he is getting some kids back. So it's good to see. Let's talk about though, Trevor Lowe, your all Cardinal Conference quarterback. That's what he meant to the team, now becoming that upperclassman, and outside of what he brings to the field, I mean, I'm hearing he had a lot of good leadership skills despite being a young player.
I tell you what, he's just a great kid. There's no that, – that's the best compliment I could ever give a football player. He's a great young man. He started 7 games as a freshman. He actually started middle linebacker before he started quarterback. Right. And then last year he really had a breakout year. Had a little over 1,000 yards passing, almost 1,000 yards rushing. He had over 2,000 total yards. He had 20-some touchdowns. I mean, just an incredible year for a quarterback. He's going to be even better this year. I mean, he's up to like 225 pounds. He's a great quarterback. He's also a great linebacker too. We'll play him there some, not much. He's our quarterback. But just a great kid, great young man. He's always poised. That's one of the things that just really surprises me. We're playing Wayne in that shootout last year, and we ended up winning 64-56. And he just never rattled. Just, hey, coach, what are we doing next? And, you know, that's his personality.
Looking at the schedule, obviously things flipping from last year as they do, but, starting season with POCA, and then, you know, you got the Battle of the Bridge, which is always a fun game in this area. A lot of I mean, a lot of winnable games. I mean, obviously every game is going to be challenging, but we talked about the progression of going from 3 wins to 4 wins. I mean, I don't have the crystal ball or whatever in front of me, but, you know, some tough road games, obviously it's always tough to play against the opponents you have on your schedule here, but there are a lot of winnable games there. And if these guys can put something together, you could be sniffing playoffs or actually get to the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, we were 3-3, you know, through 6 games last year. And then, you know, we scored the most points on Mingo of anybody besides Pikeville, who ended up winning the Kentucky State Championship. So we can score with most people. And this year we're really trying to get our defense to where we're playing good defense. Because if we can play good defense with how I know our offense is going to be, then we're going to be pretty tough to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one thing that jumps out to me is the score. Because you're like, okay, they scored 65. You know, you mentioned that last game. I'm like, man, they can put points up against anybody. It just seems like having a tough time getting anybody off the field definitely can put you in that situation. I always jump to the first year West Virginia was in the Big 12, and you're like, man, this offense is just phenomenal. They got weapons everywhere, but their defense can't stop anything.
Yeah. It you know, that's a combination of a couple things. We have some good linebackers, second level players. They were just freshmen last year or sophomores. So as sure. they grow up, where we struggled last year was linebacker position. D line's pretty good, secondary's pretty good, and we had some really young guys playing linebacker. And the better that, and they'll grow up. And their position coach and defensive coordinator, Coach Michael Hughes, is going to do a great job with them.
Yeah, put on some weight and figure out not to overplay, you know, find out the position they're supposed to be in, all those things, those little things, that 1 foot out of place, you had a guy had a step on you. Just those little things, tweak those things, they'll be fine.
Absolutely.
All right. I want to end it on talking about the new turf. I know everybody's been bugging you about it. The player's been – I think you said the player's been calling you. Everybody's been calling you, hey, man, when's the new turf going to come in? They said, be patient. It's going to be here eventually. Just – it's going to be great. Just talk about how cool that's going to be, getting some new turf over there. Because I went to Nitro for, I think, 2 years in high school, and that field's been the way it's been for a long time. So it'll be definitely interesting to see a kind of a change to the Underwood field over there.
I mean, it's awesome. We're so grateful for, you know, the residents of Kanawha County passing the levy, and then Kanawha County schools obviously giving us this turf. And it's going to allow us to do more like agility stuff in the winter, in the spring, because you can get outside on it. You're not trying to let it rest. You know, if it's grass, you're trying not to get on it. And then does it get cut and you have to line it? So now it's always lined. We can go outside and do some different agility things, some conditioning stuff. And it helps our youth league too, because they play, we play on the same field. So if it's raining, they can play. They don't have to worry about tearing it up for our game. And it's going to be just a big boost to our community, to where it's something that can be used year round, and it allows our soccer team to come play home games again. So, you know, we can make some more money in the soccer program, and it's a really big plus for us. Absolutely.
I actually lied. I want to ask you before we get off the video call here, but have you learn any new hobbies outside of when you've been in quarantine? Have you learned how to juggle? Did you do any weird research on, you know, I saw a guy, I tried to do it, I couldn't do it. Saw a guy, World Guinness book holder of stacking eggs. And you think, man, that'd be a lot of eggs. This is just three. Cause apparently it's like almost impossible to stack them because of the, I guess their mass and the way they're shaped. It's almost impossible to stack them up, and it held for 5 seconds. Is there anything you've done outside of the podcast or blog?
No. I mean, I've been doing yard work, running. We live in South Charleston, so I go run at Little Creek Park a lot, go hiking. I guess found some new trails. Read a lot, try to listen to stuff, try to be educated, things that matter to me. So that's been about it. Stacking eggs, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, I read that and I was like, man, it's got to be more than that. I read the story and it's like, three? Really? Just three? Like, that's a world record. So, yeah, it's hard. It's almost impossible.
Yeah, it is. I may try that. I may break the eggs out. Well, we don't have eggs because we're vegan. So,
okay.
I don't know. Yeah, we're I think we're like the only vegans in West Virginia.
You are.
Yeah. I mean, that could be a whole podcast on why we're vegans. That's a whole other story for a whole other time. But yeah, so we don't even have eggs. I have to go buy some eggs. We don't have any.
Well, Coach, I appreciate your time. Good luck to the rest of the way as far as the phases. Hopefully, we can get through all three of these things and then get to that 3-week practice window. But good luck with preparing for this upcoming season. We'll be rooting for you, and I'm sure I'll talk to you soon.
I appreciate it, Brandon. Thank you.
Thanks.